This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson. The Kuskokwim River community of Nabuskiak has regained power after 4 days without electricity. The outage began on Saturday following the weekend ice storms. The State Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management reported that contractors working in Kipnuk arrived at the community on Tuesday to make repairs. Nabuskiak's tribal chief, Sharon Williams, says the issue with the pole line originally occurred during Typhoon Halong. She says the line sparked during the October storm and was not repaired, though power to the village remained functional. Williams says it appears that ice over the weekend merely added to the already damaged power line, accounting for the outage. As of Wednesday afternoon, power has been restored to the entire village, though the community remains without water. Williams says multiple water pipes have burst as a result of the outages and reports that workers from the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation have been on site to assess the issue. She says some community members have been able to receive water by plane through AVCP or by snow machine trips to grocery stores in Bethel. This week, candidate Tom Begich visited the YK Delta on his campaign trail for Alaska governor. Begich is one of two Democrats running for the seat, which will be on the ballot this coming November. Begich is from Anchorage and works as the government affairs director for the Coalition for Education Equity. He was also a state senator. Begich says he's been to the YK Delta many times before, through his careers in education policy and tribal court development. He says at the state level, he's continually brought up the resilience of the region's districts, referencing the Lower Kuskokwim School District's preschool program's connection to better performance in students at later grades.
When you know that that innovation is happening in rural Alaska, it is part of the plan. It's not a neglected stepchild. It is the child. It is the standard that you use to set the rest of this policy making on. You base it on where it works in the best and most difficult climates.
In Bethel, Begich met with local leaders and spoke with students in the ANSEP program. He says conversations during his visit revealed both short-term and long-term needs. He says the list of longer-term priorities of the YK Delta includes food security, like the ability to harvest subsistence foods and navigate the Yukon and Kuskokwim River's declining salmon populations. Another topic Begich says has come up during his visit is the state's role in providing quality education and adequate school building infrastructure. Begich says he's been involved in school building relocation efforts, referencing a relocation project in the Northwest Arctic community of Kivalina. Begich says he believes in working with tribes and communities on the YK Delta and beyond to address the impacts of a warming climate. He says his approach is to follow each community's lead, to listen and support local experts with relocation efforts and fortifying rural school infrastructure.
I want to reach out to communities across the state, in particular those that are threatened because of global warming and climate change, and say, where should you be moving? How should we fix this? How do we make this work from your perspective, not because we said so?
If elected as governor, Begich would be leading the state through recovery following Typhoon Halong. He says his priorities would be to make sure there is continued federal government support, such as through FEMA, and continued prioritization of state resources to help over the coming years.
It takes a night to destroy a town. It takes a decade to rebuild it. That means that commitment cannot be one time, you're out of the news, we're not going to pay attention to you anymore.
Begich is one of two Democrats currently running for the governor's seat, Alaska State Senator Matt Clemen. Begich has also said publicly that if former Congresswoman Mary Peltola were to decide to enter the race, he would drop out and support her.
What is most important is that we elect the next governor to change the direction our state is moving in, which will mean a governor who does have rural interests at heart. And to compete with each other would end up creating a situation where both of us could lose. And so should she jump into the governor's race, I'd be right there with her.
Begich says he feels the two are especially aligned politically on education and YK Delta specific issues, including understanding climate change's impact on the region and the challenges facing subsistence fishing. He also says he considers Peltola a friend. Begich says he will be back in February as part of his campaign trail, when he hopes to venture to Akiachuk on the ice road and play guitar at a Bethel open mic. Governor Mike Dunleavy plans to roll out a new plan to stabilize Alaska's tumultuous state finances ahead of next month's legislative session. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, the upcoming session provides Dunleavy a last chance to address an issue that has vexed his 7 years in office.
Dunleavy says relief isn't exactly around the corner.
Next 3, 4, 5 years are going to be tough, and we're going to have to make some tough decisions, and that's why we will roll out in a fiscal plan solutions for the next 5 years.
The state's fiscal issues are structural. Since oil prices collapsed in the mid-2010s, Alaska has spent more money than it has taken in. That's despite years of aggressive cost cutting and a 2018 move to tap permanent fund earnings to fund state services. Dunleavy said at his annual holiday open house he expects revenue from new oil and gas development and the state's investments to eventually ease the state's budget pressure.
After that, with increased oil in the pipeline, your permanent fund corpus growing, the gas line, which should deliver anywhere between $700 million to $1 billion a year. I think the next 5 years, we're going to have to be real careful, and we're going to have in place things that will pay for government.
The Republican governor declined to reveal even the broad strokes of his plan, saying he plans to hold news conferences in the coming weeks to discuss it. Prior efforts by Dunleavy and the legislature to come to an agreement on a long-term fiscal plan, though, have failed. Dunleavy's early plans for deep cuts led to an effort to recall him. More recently, he's backed attempts to cap state spending and constitutionalize the permanent fund dividend. A prior Dunleavy revenue commissioner floated a few tax proposals during talks with the legislative committee in 2021, but Dunleavy has since distanced himself from those ideas. Alaska is the only state without a sales or income tax, but Dunleavy was noncommittal when asked directly whether his plan would include a sales tax.
You're just going to have to just wait in a couple more weeks, and we'll have that entire fiscal plan laid out so you guys can take a look at it and the people in Alaska can take a look at it.
In recent years, Dunleavy has proposed budgets with large deficits that require spending from savings. His most recent budget would have drained about half of the savings in the state's $3 billion rainy day fund, the Constitutional Budget Reserve, or CBR. Still, Dunleavy says he wants to find a sustainable fiscal path forward for the state.
We are determined to help solve this longstanding issue of how do you deal with balancing the budget, and not just on the backs of the PFD or the CBR, but what other methods are we going to employ to be able to do that?
Whether lawmakers will be receptive is an open question. Democrat-heavy bipartisan coalitions control both the state House and Senate, and even some minority Republicans crossed over to override Dunleavy's vetoes repeatedly this year. Dunleavy's budget proposal is likely to offer some clues about the governor's fiscal plan. He has until December 15th to unveil it. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Kwayana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Gnonchit coming up.